Welcome back to our series on principles for living through a pandemic. We're looking at a faith that works when life doesn't. And we've been going through the book of James now. This is part 12. So if you want to download the message notes from wherever you are, you can go along with us as we go into chapter 2. You know, today, our culture is literally overrun with fake products. Almost anything real can now be faked and purchased at a much cheaper price. You know, I fly through a lot of international airports around the world, and in many countries, you could buy a fake Rolex, $15,000, for only $100, and it looks identical to the real thing. And of course, today, you could improve your body with fake nails, fake hair, fake teeth, fake body parts, which will remain unmentioned, fake tanning. And then you can go out and you can eat a taco with fake meat and fake cheese. And you could put fake sugar in your coffee. And then you can wear fake designer clothes made out of fake leather and fake fur while you talk about fake news to your fake friends on social media with your fake identity. Now, there are some areas in life where fake works just fine, just as well as the real thing. But there is one area where you have to have the real thing, and it is this. You have to have real faith, not fake faith, or it doesn't work. In the Bible, in this book, there are over 6,000 promises of God that God has made to you. You need these promises to stay stable and strong and healthy during this pandemic. But to access those promises, you have to have a real, legitimate, genuine faith. Fake faith has no power to change your life. It has no power to save you. It has no power to answer your prayers. Fake faith has no power to transform you. And when life doesn't work, like in this COVID-19 pandemic, Fake faith doesn't work either. So, in the book of James, we now come to the second half of chapter 2. And here we have a little essay written to help you know the difference between real faith and fake faith. Now, I want to guarantee this today. It's going to make a huge change in your life. This is going to be very, very helpful. It's real simple to understand, but it's real basic, knowing the difference between fake faith and real faith. Now, for instance, some of you have been wondering why your prayers have not been answered. Well, maybe the problem isn't your request, but it might be that you've been using fake faith. So today's passage in James chapter 2 is going to help you know the real difference between the real and the fake that has no power to help you. Now, let me read you James chapter 2, verses 14 down to about 20, okay? It says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Suppose you see your brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say to them, 'I wish you well. I feel for you. I hope you stay warm and eat well.' But then you do nothing to meet their needs. What good does your sympathy do? It's worth nothing. In the same way, faith, if it is not accompanied by actions, doesn't work. It's dead, and it's useless. Now, someone may argue, well, you know, some people can have faith while other people do good deeds. But I say, I can't see your faith if I don't see any good works in you. I don't see any good works to show for it. In contrast, I will show you my faith by my good deeds." Now you say, well, I believe there is a God. And I say, well, good for you. But even the demons believe that, and they are afraid. It's foolish not to realize that faith in God is useless if you don't do what God wants you to do. Now, after reading that passage that I just read, I'm sure some people think that James is contradicting Paul, who wrote some of the other books in the New Testament. But that's a misunderstanding. James and Paul don't contradict each other. Instead, they complement each other. And you can see the way they complement on the outline, on the chart that I put on your outline. Look at that chart. For instance, when Paul is writing, the emphasis of Paul is how to know I'm saved, how to know I'm saved. But the emphasis of James is how to show I'm saved, how to show I'm saved. Paul's focus, when he writes about this, he's focusing on the root of my salvation, which is internal and unseen. James is focusing on the fruit of my salvation, which is external and visible. It's two sides of the same coin. When Paul talks about, quote, works, he's talking about keeping Jewish laws in order to become a believer. He says, you can't do that. They won't save you, keeping Jewish laws. But when James uses the same term and he talks about works or good deeds, he's talking about living like Jesus because you already are a believer. So what is real faith? Well, James first tells us four things that real faith is not. And then he gives us two examples of what real faith really is. Now, as we go through this today, you might use these points as a quiz for self-evaluation. Do I have these saving faith items in my life? First, James 2:14 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anybody." Now, I want you to circle, if you're taking notes, the word saying. What's the use of saying you have faith if you don't have any actions in your life? Here's the first thing he says, real faith is not. Real faith, he says, is more than just words I say. Real faith is more than just the words I say. It's more than just a memorized prayer. You know, sometimes people pray, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, et cetera, et cetera. And that doesn't mean you're a Christian. That doesn't mean you know the Lord. Doesn't mean you have faith. It's just something you say. Repeating something that I heard other people say doesn't mean that I have real faith. Saying, claiming that I have real faith doesn't prove that I have real faith. Knowing all the religious lingo and all of the phrases, just because you say you have faith doesn't guarantee you've got it. You ever met anybody who sounded like a believer? I mean, they know all the right phrases, but their lifestyle is a 360 degrees or 180 degrees difference. Their lifestyle doesn't match their words, you know? Studies have shown that in the United States, most people claim to be a Christian. Vast majority of Americans say, I am a Christian. But they sure don't act like it. They don't act like it. And we saw outbursts of racism here just recently, this week. That's not Christ-like when we treat other people with disrespect. And a lot of people live any old way they want to live. That's not faith. You know, today, we make a mistake, and we tend to label anybody who's a celebrity or anybody who's a sports star as a Christian if they just vaguely sound like a Christian. You know, somebody gets up at the Country Western Awards, and they say, I just want to thank the man upstairs. Well, who are they talking about, the producer? You know, that doesn't mean they're a Christian. He's saying just because you say you have faith doesn't mean you've got it. Real faith is more than words. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says this, not everyone who says that I am their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. Not everyone who says that I'm their Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people, this is Jesus talking, the only people who will enter heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. You ever had a driver flip you off, and then as they drive by, they got a Christian bumper sticker on the back? You know, I could say, for instance, I could say or I could claim to be the best dancer in the whole world, but that wouldn't make it true. And the moment I started dancing, you'd know it was not true. Now, what value is phony faith? What value is fake faith? None. It has no value. It's worthless. Talk is cheap. So real faith is more than just words I say. Number two, second thing James says, real faith is more than just an emotion I feel. He says that in the very next verse. Real faith is more than emotion I feel. You can be inspired and you can be emotionally moved and you can get a quiver in your liver and you can have, you know, goosebumps and you can be really emotional and never have real faith. James gives us an example of this. In James chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, he says this. Suppose you see your brother or your sister and they need food or clothing, and you say to them, I wish you well. I feel for you. I hope you stay warm. I hope you eat well. But then you do nothing to meet their needs. What good does your sympathy do? It's worth nothing. In the same way, James is still talking. He said, if it's not accompanied by action, it doesn't work. It's dead. The faith is dead and useless. Do you see the sarcasm that James is using here? He said, you know, you go up to somebody who's out of work, and we've got 32 million people out of work right now just in America, and they need food, and they're in the food lines. And you go up to them and you say, hey, buddy, I feel for you. Hang in there. Cheer up. Keep your chin up. Don't worry. Be happy. When we use all these great cliches and pious platitudes and say, you know what, I'll pray for you. You know, they don't need your prayer, they need food. Okay, he says, you can say all those words, but it's not faith unless you actually do something about it. If I shut my finger in my car door and I can't get it out, I don't need your sympathy, I need your assistance. I need you to help me get my finger out of the door. I don't need you to come up and say, you know, brother, I sense your pain. Just let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. No, real faith is practical. It gets involved with people's needs. Now, why am I teaching this to you, Saddleback members? Because you, thousands and thousands of you, are doing this literally every week during COVID-19. We've got 10,000 plus people handing out food and supplies to the needy and the out of work literally every week. So you are talking about real faith. You know, just today, on just one day in one location, we fed 840 out of work families just today in one of our 897 pop-up food distributions. And just today, 256 people prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Just today, one food line. You want to lead somebody to Jesus? I mentioned this last week. Volunteer for our food ministry during COVID-19. You will learn to lead somebody to Christ very, very quickly and very easily. Faith is more than the words I say. Faith is more than the emotions I feel. Number three, James says real faith is more than an idea I debate. Real faith is more than an idea that I debate. And he says that in the very next verse in James chapter 2. You know, for some people, faith is just an intellectual game. It's just a mental challenge. It's a theology to be studied. It's a doctrine to be debated. It's a dogma to be defended. It's an idea to be discussed. It's a truth to be talked about. In other words, for them, faith is not something you do. Faith is just a conversation. They love to talk. Talk, 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 talk. They'll talk all day and night about God, about faith, and they'll be happy to debate you. And it's all about conversation, not about conduct. They would rather discuss the Bible than do it. Okay? They'd rather debate theology than do it, than practice it. And in James chapter 2, verse 18, he imagines an intellectual objector, this third kind of fake faith. He says, now, verse 18, now someone may argue, isn't it possible that some people have good faith while other people do good deeds? And James says, but I say, no, no, I can't see your real